In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to share with you this morning a story of a small miracle. To me, it's a miracle that happened on the eve of the Feast of St. Nicholas. That was this week. It was a Monday. And I was up early. I was getting our daughters ready for school, attending to some projects around the church. I had several errands to run. And we were also getting ready for the St. Nicholas liturgy later on in the evening. A little bit after lunchtime, I drove out to Staples in Salem to pick up some supplies. And there I was, standing in line. I'd been up and awake, and out and about, for a good 8 hours or so by that time. And I looked down, and I realized that my pants were on inside out. All day, I had been running around with my pants on all wrong. And no one said anything. I was amazed. I paid my bill. I got back in the car and I started driving home. And I couldn't get over it. No one had mentioned a thing to me. I mean, how strange I must have seemed. And on my way home, you know what I decided? I decided I was going to see this thing through. I figured that wearing my pants wrong side out was just as much about other people as it was about me. And I decided to keep my pants just as they were, just to see if anybody would realize that something was not quite right with my wardrobe choice. And you know what? All day, no one noticed. Now, I count this as a miracle. It's a strange one. But it's beyond my ability to understand, one, how I could have dressed myself in the way that I did. And two, that no one noticed. In the days that followed, I realized that God was sending me a very clear message on the eve of the feast of our patronal saint. The good Lord was reminding me that we live in a world in which no one is very surprised by very much of anything at all anymore. There's very little that you can say or do or write about that will make someone take notice, or at least take notice for more than just a few minutes, maybe a few days. If there's a line between what is ordinary and what is extraordinary, if there's a line between what is commonplace and profound, then we live in a world which seems to be a world in which nothing exists on the other side of that line anymore. Most folks that you meet seem to be living in a world of indifference. Indifference even to big news. Big news, surprising news, news that can change your life just by hearing it. That sort of news just doesn't seem to exist anymore. I think of the 8th of May, 1945, VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, when the Nazis surrendered and the news broke that the war in Europe was over. That was big news. That was the news and the sort of news that just by hearing it, it could change your life dramatically. It was news you thirsted for. It was a message you longed to hear. It was news that made your heart ache every day you didn't hear it. It just seems that news on that level doesn't really seem possible in the wider culture that we live in today. Now, today is the Sunday set aside as the Sunday of the Forefathers of Christ. We are 2 weeks away from Christmas. And in our gospel reading this morning, our Lord tells a parable in which a man plans a great banquet. And he sends out word to his friends and his family to come and to feast and to celebrate. The time for the banquet arrives. All that preparation and planning has come to an end. And his servants are sent out to bring in those invited guests. But they don't come. One says that he is just too busy with work. You know, master, the rat race is just a little bit too intense right now. I really need to get my files in order. Another guest says that he has just invested money in a new portfolio, we might say. I really want to go and watch the markets this week, master. Make sure everything is okay. Please excuse me. And still another says that the family schedule is really just crazy right now. My wife and I are working. The kids have so much to do after school. A lot of projects that I haven't finished around the house. And there's that new priest at church. He's always asking us to lend a hand. We'd love to come to the feast, master, but we don't even eat dinner together as a family most nights. So in this parable, the invited guests all receive big news. Like news that the war is over. News of an invitation that will fill their lives with feasting, with joy, and with fellowship. And this master of this great house is broadcasting his deep desire to take care of and to celebrate his friendships, to relieve them of the cares of life, to break that everyday cycle of work and struggle and work and struggle. The people in the parable, they refused. But it's important to realize they didn't refuse because they were rude. They certainly didn't refuse because they truly had better things to do. They didn't. They refused because they were like those people described by the prophet Isaiah. They were people sitting in great darkness. Nothing fazed them. Nothing moved them any longer. Big news didn't matter to them. To them, an invitation to the feast of feasts on the one hand, the chance to catch up on past episodes of Law and Order, these were things on the same level to them. Neither one was clearly more profound or life-changing than the other. We know, of course, that the parable continues. The master of the banquet is stunned by the response of the invited guests, and he commands his servants to go out into the city, into the streets there, to bring in the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And they do. They bring them in, but still there is room. And so they leave the city and they go out into the highways and the hedges, as Scripture says, and they bring in new guests until the house is filled. And on this Sunday of the forefathers of Christ, the meaning of the parable is concerned with how God the Father enlarges that invitation to the house of Israel and extends it to the entire world, so that the entire world, all of us, and we are the blind and the lame and the maimed, that we might be brought into the kingdom and might feast at that heavenly banquet table. But there's more than that. There's a deeper meaning. There's a meaning for us here and now in this parable today as well. This morning, our Lord asks us to remember that as Christians, as a community of baptized and believing disciples of Jesus Christ, we have been entrusted with big news. To us is given the gospel of Jesus Christ, witnessed to by Scripture, proclaimed by the apostles, maintained by the church ever since. And that's our responsibility, to share that big news, to share the news that the war is over, that in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the domination of this world by sin and darkness and death, that has been reversed. And that through the empty tomb of Christ, there's a new creation pouring forth into this world, and that Christ, along with his Father and his Holy Spirit, are together working with us and through us to make all things new. This is the news entrusted to us. This is the news which we are commanded by our Lord to take to all the nations. But there's a thing to be worried about. Just like the servants of the master in the parable, we face great challenges. Just like those servants, the great challenge that you and I face as servants of God is that we live in a world of low expectations. Apparently, it's rather unremarkable that a grown man can walk around all day with his pants on backwards. More importantly, we live in a world in which people are no longer sensitive to good news that is really profound, very life-changing. And it's not that the world doesn't care. The world does care. It's not that the world doesn't hunger and thirst for good news. It does. The world is hungry and thirsty. The big problem is that people are so numb. They're so distracted. Perhaps they're so hopeless that folks can no longer recognize that the message of salvation through Jesus Christ is the good news that they long for. That's where you and I have a job to do. You and I are called to be like those servants of the Master who are sent out into the highways and the hedges until we gather together all of those to make the Master's house full. And as St. Paul writes to the Colossians this morning, to do this kind of hard work for the kingdom, it really does matter what we wear. According to St. Paul, Christians have a dress code to obey while on duty. In particular, St. Paul writes that we have to put off what he calls the old man, and we have to put on the new man. And every day we have to work hard to renew our faith. Every day we have to work hard to convert back to our faith. In the church, everyone is a convert. There may be those who are cradle Orthodox, but there is no such thing as a cradle Christian. Because faith in Jesus Christ is something you have to convert to each and every day. You have to wake up and choose to hear the word of God and to obey it every day. Brothers and sisters, St. Paul is clear. It's all about the clothes, spiritually speaking. Each day we have to work hard to make sure that we take off the old man of disobedience and of self-will and to put on that new man, that new person who has been renewed through the message of love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Each day we have to make sure that we are wearing the garments of faith. Each day we got to make sure that our pants are on right. And if our breeches are backwards, we got to turn those trousers around. Amen.